Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 146. And the boys are all back together. St. Moritz, this is my apartment. Welcome to my place, guys. First time you've been over. What do you think?
It's a nice spot.
It is nice. I was expecting, I don't know why I was expecting carpet, but it's tiled.
Tiled kitchen, living room. Yeah. Very nice view of the lake.
It's a nice view.
The thing that's nice about this one, which is nice in its own way, different from, let's say, your one, Ollie, is, actually, your guys' current one is more similar to this, but this has a kind of a Swiss mountain-like vibe, you know?
Yeah.
Especially the outside, actually.
Yeah, it feels authentic.
Now, we'll have to do the next one at my place, and then we have all three boxes ticked.
All three of the boxes are ticked.
The trifecta.
Yeah.
Just tour de St. Moritz.
We got to get the lighting good at your place, though, George.
Very important.
Why are you calling it your place? You also live there.
Oh, yeah, I live there as well. Our place.
Our place.
Well, you know, what's mine is yours. What's yours is mine.
Exactly. So, very happy to have the boys here. Bang out another little podcast. And before we get into it, we do have some little special announcements. First one, not going to go over this too much. Check us out on Instagram that's where we're going to be hyping this up more. But merch, we're releasing merch collection. I don't even know if this is like number two, but we're releasing a new collection of merch, shirts and a hoodie this time. And they're going to go on sale in 1 week, I think, from today. Well, I think that's the plan. And they're going to be on, this time they're going to be on pre-sale for 1 week. So everyone will have to get their orders in for that 1 week. I think it'll be about the last week of the month, and that'll be it. So I'm repping the merch right now. There's some more here. The boys, you might see them wearing it around St. Moritz or wherever they are. We're loving it. So that's it. Check us out on Instagram for more information on it, but just to put it on the radar. And once again, this episode is sponsored by Roll Recovery, our friends over at Roll Recovery. George, take it away.
Yeah, the lovely people at Roll Recovery are sponsoring again. Oh, episode, wait, what are we? 146?
Yeah.
The R8 Plus, the signature product of the lineup. Is that what? What's it called when you have like one product that like defines your brand? Is that signature?
I mean, signature sounds right.
I feel like the R8, that must mean their first product, right? That's how they got big. This one, special. The plus, you can up the force and like lower it depending on how sore your muscles are. But yeah, just really cool to be working with those guys. I actually have a fun little project coming out with Roll Recovery in the next few weeks, hopefully. Just a little teaser of a behind the scenes in Paris video that those guys did. And I'm pretty close with those guys. I go play table tennis at Roll Recovery, probably at least once a week. So really cool to be working with.
You win every time, right?
I don't know about every time. They're actually, a couple of them are pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it's a lot of fun. And yeah, just cool to be working with local Boulder crew. And so thanks to those guys for sponsoring us again.
Mm-hmm. Thanks to Roll.
Check out their website.
Check them out. And finally, we don't have a bean shout out today, but we have a child birth shout out, a baby shout out. This one, I have to read this directly off the notes so that I make sure. I don't know if this is true, but just so I get the names right. Shout out to two of our big fans, Josiah and Brittany, who just had a baby and named him Jordy. And apparently, I don't know if this is true. Like, apparently it was between Ollie and Jordy.
I hope that bit's true. I hope that bit's not added in just for...
It says Grace Lodenberger. Lauren Berger, I probably butchered that last name, is a proud auntie and wanted to shout them out. They also named him Ollie, they did name him Ollie. And then they just said Jordy was just safer because Jordy, you know.
What are you saying?
They almost named him Ollie.
Obviously, yeah. I'm joking.
Well, originally you said also.
I think you were just struggling.
I think that was a reading mistake when you said also, no?
I plead the fifth. They almost named him Ollie, but the mum preferred Jordy. Mum, what the hell, bro? That's tough. Great choice. Who doesn't like Ollie? I guess Geordie is a good name, so congratulations.
I don't know how common that is these days.
What, George? It's a common name.
Surely Geordie, is, if it's actually Geordie, if it's that's, actually that's Geordie, quite rare.
Yeah.
Especially very if, rare. Unless they're, especially if it's like in America or somewhere.
Yeah, you wouldn't see that too often.
No, it's a very old English name, isn't it, George? King George?
Why do you keep saying George? They didn't name fucking kid George.
Well, Geordie and George. We don't know if it's George or George. We'll guess they said Geordie.
This says Geordie, though. That's why I'm like, that's why I'm
struggling. You know when people, when they said, it no, but when they say almost named him Ollie, were they going to name him Ollie or Oliver? You would just name the kid Oliver and their nickname would be Ollie.
But we have a direct example, a counter to that. Isn't Andy's kid named Ollie?
No, full name's Oliver.
Oh, okay.
That's why I'm saying that.
Yeah, but you could, what you're saying is true, but also you could name them Ollie or George.
You could, 100%. We just don't have the context here. No context.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Geordie's a very New Zealand name then. And George is a very English name.
I'm going to guess that it's named George, but maybe we should just move on.
Well, then why are we giving me shit for it if you're going to guess that? You both are giving me shit for it. All right, never mind. Geordie, great name. Congratulations. Hopefully that baby becomes one of the greatest steeplers of all time.
Yeah, you're setting the bar pretty high there, Geordie. Well, okay, so if the baby is named, I know that you really want to move on from this. If the baby is named Geordie, do you think that they can also go by George or no? Because obviously if you're named George, you can go by Geordie.
Geordie, yeah.
If you're Ollie, you can go by, if you're Oliver, you can go by Ollie. But does it go the other way or are you just trapped with one name?
I don't know how many Georges go by Geordie. I don't know how common that is.
Yeah.
It might, I don't know if that's just me.
You invented the name Geordie.
Maybe that is, I don't actually know if that's a thing. I feel like that's not like, it's not like Oliver and Ollie, which is
pretty
much every single Oliver in the world, I feel like, goes by Ollie at some point in their life.
Yeah. Well, I've heard Geordie's George and Geordie, from Georgina's. Not so much. That's where I've heard Geordie's from.
For like a girl?
Female. Yeah. Like I know females that go by Geordie sometimes for Georgina. But maybe it's an Aussie Kiwi thing. Because we shorten everything with an IE.
We do put IU on a lot of things.
But I have never heard of Geordie.
Geordie George. Sounds easier than Georgie for whatever reason.
Yeah, Georgie, yeah. Well, Georgie's...
Geordie just okay, sounds easier.
We should definitely move on.
It's just a thought.
Congratulations. And I'm sad because like it could have been Ollie, but it's fine.
Yeah. Didn't even consider Morgan, apparently. That's pretty rude.
Yeah, that is also maybe, actually... Maybe you should probably be more hurt than I am. Yeah
maybe next time. But alas, so this week we are squeezed in the middle of two big diamond leagues, both of which Ollie Hoare is competing in. So that is going to be probably the main focus of today. But before we get into it, we will do a little check-in, George and I, that is. I'll go first because mine is pretty relevant to right now. I was supposed to be racing in Luzerne tonight, in fact. I've been hyping it up, I think, the last two episodes. I was very excited to go race. I was very excited. But then I keep getting corrected as to what exact part of my body flared up and is sore. I just say, like, my calf because, you know, that kind of encompasses that whole area. Or my shin, I say one of those two. It's like, I also kind of thought it was my tip post, but then it's like, it's pretty much on the inside of my shin. That's the most general and accurate way of saying, like, I had a little flare up. And so that happened about 3 days ago, and it was just one of those ones that I've had this quite a few times before, and it's really annoying. It's not like bad. Like I think with a day or two off, it recovers and gets better, but it's not one that I could push through because I have tried to do that in the past. And that's like in 2018, I actually like pretty much ended my season trying to run through it. It was the first time I ever had it, and I didn't really know what was going on. So, yeah, no, I was just playing it safe and I was like, all right, I'll just take it easy for a few days, not race. Hopefully can be working out again by the end of the week. And so everything will be all good for Paris. So that's my status.
You got PTSD from 2018?
Well, yeah, like literally, like I just...
It's ending your season is not worth racing a 3K in Luzerne for, that's for sure.
That was the trade-off. And so made the decision to take it easy. And I'm happy with that. I've just been grinding on the cross training for a couple of days on the bike, aqua jogging. So just like just, you know, taking this little step back to prevent, you know, a bigger issue occurring. But yeah, it was just very disappointing to not take the trip to Luzerne with our teammates Sage and Mara, who are also racing tonight there. I think it would have been just a nice race to get ready, but hopefully, I mean, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day compared to the main races that we have upcoming. So that's the Morgan check-in. George, do you want to give an update on how you're doing with your body? Because you made some good progress, it seems like, in the last week.
Progress in terms of I'm running now, and I wasn't last week. So, yeah, no, that's for sure. It was a heavily intensive week of treatment, which was just what was required. And so a big thank you to our guy, Jason Ross, who was out here from Michigan for the week. We put in a lot of time together. And, yeah, back running, back training. Things got a few more weeks to iron it out. It is crazy that it's only in a few weeks.
Yeah.
I actually was also on the start list somehow for tonight.
I forgot to mention.
I don't know how that even happened.
Because I saw, shout out to Athstats. They just posted like in the last hour or two, and it had your name in the 3K, but it had like TBC.
TBC, yeah.
Because I think they listened to the podcast maybe.
I was about to say, this is like the best source of whether or not I was running or not.
Yeah.
It's the person at Athletics New Zealand also needs to listen to the Coffee Club. Because that was still getting posted with them. But I think I said last week that I wasn't going to race.
You did.
So
you did.
Must have just got on a start list somehow.
Just snuck your way on there.
Yeah, that was a pretty loose plan anyway. So that was never really plan A. But yeah, got another 10 days here. Maybe 12 days. No, yeah. What's today? Ten days.
10 days.
Another 10 days up here, and then yeah, we start the trek.
Trip down to Zurich. Yeah, we're all going down to Zurich for like 5 days. Well, actually, okay, Ollie and I announced this on the episode that didn't come out last week, but we all did get confirmed for the Olympics. We didn't announce that on the actual podcast. We announced it on the one that didn't make it through. So,
yeah. Oh yeah,
sorry if I said that wrong. We're all going to the Olympics.
There you go.
So we're very happy about that. The Coffee Club trifecta is going to be there in full force. And yeah, we
should mention too, the IOC has tried to partner with us for the Olympics. We've refused. Gus didn't like the offer.
Wasn't big enough.
No, it was a few mil short, but it was nice for the IOC to kind of think about us, particularly as a coverage for the Olympic campaign for a lot of people. But
it just felt like
we had bigger fish to fry.
We were giving them free advertising.
Yeah, we had bigger fish to fry, so the IOC can hold off for that.
What are we not allowed to do once our...
I think the rules have. I think starts. The rules have relaxed. I think they've changed.
It's also what I heard, but then we it's also got an party. Email from.
Yeah,
it's we got an email from Owen about how to
navigate Rule 40.
Yeah, I think there's like a call actually, isn't it? Like today or tomorrow.
There is some sort of call about Rule 40.
Where they like teach us what
to
do.
The blackout period.
Yeah, but the blackout period you can do third party. You just can't.
I think
mention certain things. It's like certain.
So, you can't say like say the word Olympics or something, right?
Yeah, you can't use the word Olympics
or like any words.
You can't use associated. You can't use the word sponsored either. Yeah. Can't use that word.
I will say, and I don't know, I imagine you two maybe have done it, I'm not sure, but we did have to do like an education thing online, the course.
Did I haven't
do
done that? It yet.
You didn't do it? Or George, did you do it yet? I think everyone has to do it, and it does go over some of this stuff.
Oh, really?
Well,
if I did, I've forgotten.
I'm going to do it today.
I try speed run those courses. You know, I try to go through them as quick as possible, and pretty much the only thing I can remember saying was that like they really try and protect the Olympic team sponsors. So there was all this stuff about how you can't purposely cover up your, you know, your logo with your own personal sponsor, that type of thing. That's all I really took away from it. But I mean, I'm sure people are still going to do it. But yeah, I think the rules are relaxed.
Well, remember that famous Michael Jordan video? Well, it's from The Last Dance where he covers
the Team USA.
It doesn't cover Team USA. It covers whoever the sponsor was for the basketball team because he was Nike.
I do remember that from The Last Dance.
Or Reebok or something. But he covered them and then he got in massive shit for it.
Oh no! Yeah,
but it was what did he cover it with?
A USA flag.
But so, see, like, everyone always does that. That's really like I feel that's the most normal thing to do is if it's like not your sponsors, you wrap the flag around and you cover the the sponsor. And then you put your shoes on top of the flag.
A lot of
that's people, the move.
A lot of people will do
so
that.
So if anyone win a medal, yeah. if any of us win a medal, just that's the move.
I never noticed people doing that, but that actually makes sense now.
Flag, cover logo.
Pay the
shoes,
fine.
Shoe, tie your two shoes together. Well,
they
around
pay the
neck.
Fine, don't they? Like a lot of brands pay the fine because it's good brand stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's good advertising.
Keep that in mind.
So, yeah, we're all going to the Olympics. And before that, we're all going to be down in Zurich at certain points, depending on when our races are. George and I are both towards the second half. Well, you're in the middle,
I'm
right?
just right in
yeah,
the middle.
Yeah, George is right in the middle. So, they Ollie
said,
first.
They said no doubles for Steve Willis.
Yeah.
Ollie's the start. I'm in the middle. Morg's at the end.
Yeah. So, catch us. Catch us in Paris.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to a week in Zurich. That's going to be very nice, I think.
Yeah, because there's good coffee there.
Yeah.
Good restaurants.
It should be
good running.
Good running.
Good weather, hopefully.
Hopefully the
weather's
nice.
Hopefully warmer. Yeah.
Good lake swimming.
Yeah. No, 100%. I mean, St. Moritz beautiful, but Zurich will be nice. Change of pace.
One hard workout, maybe, I think is the plan.
That is the plan.
Well, I got something like that. A really hard workout.
Really? In Zurich?
Yeah, it's like 600s at 121, 122. I think we're doing like 8.
Actually?
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
On the yard?
Me and Yard, yeah. Not Mario.
Fair enough.
That are you doing it as well? Is that what you're saying? Not? Are you doing? No, you wouldn't be doing that, would you? You
wouldn't be. Just because there's another person on our team running the 1500.
Yeah, but I don't think Mario's doing it. I think it's just me and Yard.
Maybe he's on his own schedule.
But I think Mario's on a different schedule.
Yeah.
Getting in there. Wait, actually, I don't know.
121 for 600.
Yeah, we're doing 8 of them.
If you run 8 600s and 121.
That's so quick.
I'd be surprised if that's a workout.
You're gonna break the world record.
Well, apparently, Biara did that same workout before Worlds and ran 124s.
Oh, really?
So
just casual 3 seconds.
He just wants us to go 3 seconds quicker.
Yeah, why not? Olympic year.
It's Olympic year.
Olympic year.
So I'm actually tapering for that workout alone.
This race is just it's just preparing for that workout.
Yeah, yeah, it's getting ready for that.
London. But yeah, I think that's the George. Anything else? Before we go into the good old Monaco. So this past weekend, we did hype it up a lot last week, and I think it definitely lives up to the hype, especially Ollie's race here. 1500, as per usual, did pop off at Monaco. I think that's that might be the fastest I've ever seen a race go through 1100 or 1200 for a 1500.
It's the fastest I've ever gone through for at least 12:50.
And you used to go out, like you've gone out fast a lot.
Yeah.
Like that's you're not a stranger to going out fast, but this one was somewhat next level. I mean, I don't know if we want to jump straight into the race or you want to just take a step back and just give us the Monaco vibes first. What was it like down there?
It was like what I expected. It was beautiful along the coastline, particularly if you got outside Monaco. In Monaco, it was kind of like pretty standard European city.
Was it very busy, like congested feeling?
Close to the race, 100%. There wasn't many places to like not many stores and stuff. It was mostly just really nice restaurants, which I went to a lot of, and it was super nice. Shout out to Mitch Dyer, had dinner with him, not for the race. It was great. Saw like a lot of people there, like Corey McGee and Haas and like Lauren Ryan, Vincent Ciabatta. So it was a pretty good vibe, honestly. It was pretty relaxing, Monaco. I think...
Was Yared and Dathan taking it in?
Yared, no. Yared was like in his room most of the time, just like reading and doing his thing. Dathan was with Jude, his son, so he was definitely taking it in when he could.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently he did 2 laps of the Formula 1 course with Jordan, running.
Really? You can? Isn't it just like an actual
just road? Yeah.
You can't really run anywhere in Monaco.
Did he go through the tunnel?
He did, yeah. He would have went through the tunnel. I mean...
Probably outside.
We drove 5.5 hours from St. Moritz to Monaco. And looking back on it, Dathan definitely realized that probably not the best idea before a race.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, didn't it take 7? It's like 5.5.
It took 6 to 7 because there was an hour just waiting in the tolls because like it was just disorganized getting through there. And the roads are very windy and like honestly like my spine was pretty banged up after it. And I know Yara definitely felt a little bit of it as well. But
that's the major downside of St. Moritz though. In general, like
it's just so hard
to get into races.
Yeah.
If you're racing in a different country, because the minimum, if you're not able to drive, is then an extra 3 to 4 hours on the train, and then getting to the airport. So it always does take a while, unfortunately.
Yeah. But I think, I mean, it was
the
nice.
The only good place to race is Zurich. Yeah. If you're in Zemritz. Yeah.
It was nice. It was nice to drive, but it was, I think next time if we did that, we would actually fly just straight to Nice and then get in, because yeah, I definitely think, like, I saw Jason for a few sessions after the race and he said that's the worst he's ever seen me, like my spine. Oh, really? It was, yeah. And I think Yard had the same stuff. So like we were a bit jammed up, but overall felt really good going into the race. It was pretty hot down there, pretty humid. Their setup is so strange. Like there's no bathrooms in the Warmbier. You have to go back into the hotel to go to the bathroom.
Really?
Yeah.
The hotel is attached to the Warmbier, which is quite nice.
That's cool. it's a bit chaos, particularly getting close to races when there's only one male and one female and then one disabled toilet. So
yep.
People were trying to use the toilets when they could, but everyone was pretty, you know, it's a diamond, like everyone's pretty professional and respectful. So it was easy to get over that obstacle of trying to use the bathroom. But overall, like going to the race, I was pretty confident with my training and stuff like that. Getting into the race, I was like, particularly in Oslo, I kind of didn't get into the position I want early on, and I kind of built up to where I wanted to be in the last like bit of the race, and then it was like kind of too late to move up any further, and still ran really, really well. So my plan for this race was to get out, get behind either Jakob or Yard, and just like go with the pace and see what I can do. Because we already had found out the day before that it was going to be going through in 2:19, which is 3:27.5 pace, which is like quick. And then when we got to the track, we saw there was a different time up there, which was under 3:27 for really? One of the lights. Yeah. So it was like, I think 3:28 was, there was a light for that. There was a light for 3:29 and there was a light for 3:26.9 or something like that.
Seriously.
So it was going to be quick. And I think, honestly, me and Yard were probably not that prepared to go that quick just from like the travel and getting in there, but might as well go for it, right? So we went out and I felt really good. Pretty much, I mean, I got tripped up near the start just because it, like every 1500, every middle distance race right now, 815, people just can't settle in and there's just a lot of trip ups and falls. But luckily I didn't go down. I think Lars
went down behind me. Yeah, he went down at the back.
I think he clipped my Achilles going down. But
wait, was he the one, did he fall right behind you or did he fall someone far back from you?
I don't know, but someone, I don't know who hit me, but somebody, I thought it was
I think he fell like mid-pack and then just got like shot out of the back.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Which would have been, he was like, that's like the first high-level race he's been in since like last Yeah, would have been interesting to see if...
yeah, he didn't race well at Euros.
Yeah, and he hasn't been in any other Diamond League.
He did a good 1K. Yeah.
Well, he's in London.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Redemption.
Redemption for him. But yeah, I got behind Yara and I was like, great position. And then I felt amazing. I thought this is going to be a good race. And then we were on pretty much 3:27 pace until... Once it got to a lap to go, I was like mentally pretty ready to be like, okay, I got to start pushing. And then I got to the back straight and I see Jakob turn his head and then just absolutely fucking bolt. He just took off and I was like, holy shit. Because we went through I was through in 2:47 for the 1200, which is like the fastest I've ever gone through in a 15.
That's crazy
and then,
fast.
Yeah, and then 2:50 to go, my body just wasn't there for it. And I know Yared had a similar thing where his body just didn't respond to the way we thought. Like we just both didn't respond. Like that's just the way racing is. Sometimes it just doesn't go the way you want it to go. But I kind of tried to hang on till the end. Got pipped by Nordis right on the line, and I think Neil Gooley got me like 200 to go. But overall, like I was kind of in a position where when you have a really good race, you can kind of like vibe off it, and if you have a really bad race, you can kind of pick apart what went wrong and how to improve it. But when you have like an okay race, like it was a season's best, it's still 3:31, still like ran pretty good 12:50 of a race, but sometimes those races are harder to process a little bit when it's just like an okay race. Like it's not crazy, it's not terrible, it's just an okay race. And Ritz had some cool stuff to say actually after the race, which is super nice for me. And Yara was pretty much like you can have, there's two ways you approach that race. One, you just wait and you race for like the middle pack where you could probably run 3:30, 3:29, or you just go for it and see where you're at. And he was proud of us to go for it because you need like having that stimulus of going out that quick or going out that hard. It's just nice to see where you're at and how it goes. And I think for me, I rewatched the race, which I actually never watch my races. I hate watching myself race. But I rewatched it, and actually rewatching it gave me a lot of confidence, because we're out, like, going out with it. We gapped the field a bit, but also, like, I was pretty happy with how I was, like, we were both there for a considerable amount of time, and it was so quick. We've never run that quick before, and I was just proud of that effort, and I think I just got to take that to the next one. And obviously, like, my neck was a little banged up, my lower back was a little banged up. Jason kind of sorted it out and just said, oh, it's just the travel, it's just on the being on the been in the car. But I also hadn't seen Jason in a while too, so, like, reassessing, probably should have flew to Eugene, even though that was going to be my worst nightmare to see Jason. It was probably a necessary evil to see him and get him to check out my body before. But overall, like, I'm very happy with that. Like, obviously I wanted to be top four and run, you know, sub 3:30, but I'll have opportunity to do that later on. And it was nice to be a part of that field and a crazy race. Also, I got to race where my dad trained for like 3 years. So my dad lived
in
Monton. There's a photo of him, like, where those historic arches were. And when I finished the race and I looked at them, I was like, that's pretty sweet. It was pretty crazy to be back there. I think it was like 30 years ago when my dad used to train and live there and run for the club there, AS Monaco. So that was cool. And yeah, I mean, kind of iffy at the start, but a lot of positives to take away from it. And then on, like, the car drive back, it was nice. Me and Yara had a nice chat about it, and we're pretty excited for the next races coming up, which is, for him, is the Olympics, but for me is London Diamond League, which is in this week.
Yeah, very soon.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good race. I mean, like, season's best, but obviously...
By 0-1. No,
just like, yeah.
0-1.
Like, season's best is good, but also I think if you ran a more even pace race, you're going to run quite a bit quicker. You would assume... Same for, like, Yarrett, I think, was just a bit off his PBs.
He was just off his PB, yeah.
So it was a solid race for him. But obviously you guys want to, like... I mean, you never want to get beat, but also I think if you can hang in the way that you did, it shows that, like, because, I mean, I would say that by the time you get to the Olympics, you potentially would be able to close that gap as well. But also, it's, I think the chance that the Olympics is that fast early on is like slim. Really, really slim. Maybe the Olympics will be a 3:26 race, but it would be like more in
the second half,
you know? So I think as a 1500 meter runner, the way I look at it from my outside perspective is you just need to be, like, in the conversation, you know? Like, if you can hang with it for as long as, like, you just did, you know that when the competition, like, the main racing happens at the Olympics, like, take a good example is Whiteman in, you know, a couple years ago. What did he run at Oslo in the
3:50?
He only ran 3:50, and then he's like, that was enough for him, you know, just to be in the conversation. So
yeah,
I just got to feel pretty good.
He just came up here, and I just see him. He had a good chat, and he was actually, I love Jake Whiteman because he always gives me, like, really nice things. He always says nice things.
Yeah.
But he was talking about that race, and he's like, nah, it's really, I think that's like the best possible thing to happen to you and Yard at this time of year. He's like, you don't want to be running 3:26. You do, but you don't want to be running like, you don't want to be peaking at Monaco is pretty definitely much what he said. Like, you don't want to be, that's like the best race of your season. You want to be doing that in the next month. And he's like, it's still a really good place to be and you should be proud of that. And I was like, thanks, Jake.
That's valid.
Being a nice guy. But Jake Whitecastle. But yeah, no, I
it was just a race. It was a race for Jakob.
Like, it was a time trial.
There's only one way to find out if the pace is too fast, and that's to go with someone like Jakob. And you know, you guys, that's probably the first time Yared's found out that the pace was too hot for him.
Yeah.
Like, and only Jakob was just still feeling great, apparently, with 200 to go. Obviously, Tim and the other Kenyan guy, Coleman.
Yeah, they did.
Ran 3:28, but like...
Yeah, they did pretty well.
Jakob's just at a point where that pace didn't take as much out of him. And you guys just went on a journey of finding out what was too fast. And that's like, can only be a good thing for the races in a few weeks that are going to be, it's going to make like 5 seconds slower, which is still fast, feel probably amazing.
Yeah,
you're adding 250, it's gonna feel great. Even though 250 is insane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a cool race.
I mean,
European
the stadium's very cool.
Yeah,
stadium's very, very cool.
crowd was actually crazy. It was a big packed crowd.
Really?
Yeah, Jordan just goes, ah, mate, it might be 30, 50% crowd there.
Really?
It was packed. It was sold out, yeah.
That's cool.
So it was pretty sweet.
A lot of young people, I feel
a lot
like.
Of young kids, yeah. All
that's what I noticed last year.
Yeah. Also, I guess maybe, because you guys, were you guys the last race or the second last race?
We were second last, because the last was the
100. Was it 100 or something, yeah. So I don't know if you guys got to experience the craziness of... Won the 800 yeah. once again.
141.
I think everyone kind of knew it was going to happen, but also it's like, well, is he really going to run 141 like twice in like a week or less than a week, whatever it was? Pretty crazy to see that. And
how can he keep that going for the Olympics?
I know.
I'll be amazed if he's still running that good in a few weeks.
Maybe he's just that good.
He's going
in
as a clear favorite, though.
And it's just, and the best part about it is how everyone has just risen as well. It's not like there's just one person. The 800, if I imagine if you look at the depth across that top five or even top 10 times of this season compared to the last 5 years, maybe more, it's just like already blown out of the water. And the Olympics hasn't even happened yet. So that was really cool. And then obviously, big shout out to Jess Hull breaking the 2K world record. World best, whatever you want to call it. She's
world amazing. It. World achievement.
She had a great army of paces.
How many paces? I thought Heather was running. I thought no way the third one. I was like,
was it three or four?
I think there was three. Because Heather was the third one. I was like, yeah. She must be racing. Like, no way they have another one.
Yeah. So
and then she also stepped off.
Good pacing. And then also closed very hard. Looked very good.
That's just crazy though. Like that world record, I think it's the same equivalent is running 3:54, which is still crazy for the 15. She ran 4 seconds quicker than that. Like,
yeah, I guess you never expect the 2K to be.
I mean, the 2K is you don't race it enough for it to be like as competitive as other world records. But that just shows her achievement in the 15, running 3:50. How crazy that is as well, because it's like 4 seconds off.
It's hard to fathom.
Yeah,
how good 3:50 that
3:50 was like insane. So like it was pretty cool to see her still have that momentum going into Paris. She's definitely a medal hope for Australia.
100%. I wonder what 3:50 is on the men's points table.
It's 3:27, I think.
Well, the points table is
3:50, I think.
You think so?
3:27 low, I think.
Do they not just equivalent it, I don't know if that's a word, between the world records? Or on the
we're
points table,
time or points?
Points. Oh. Are on the, does the points table have certain world records more impressive than other world records, or are they not? Or like, is that not like the basis that
I did just find
on?
Out that that's how the decathlon works. Did you guys know that?
Yeah, I was hearing
decathlon
about that.
Scoring is based on the world record in each event. So like now the women's high jump just got broken for the first time in like 40 years. The you get like a different score for the high jump.
So the decathlon scoring is not the same as the
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I assume not.
Yeah.
Well, the heptathlon would change, but the decathlon wouldn't.
Whatever
the thing was.
But I assume they're a different points table, right?
Well, let me
Because
they score like 800 points per event sometimes, you know, which would make, I guess that's not very high.
No,
actually.
That's really
low. That's pretty low. So it probably is different. But yeah, I wonder how they, because I've always had like, I haven't, you know, really set up, but I'm like, surely like the points table, because you know now they do ranking, they do like this is the top ranked like person, men and women, like
yeah,
in athletics.
Yeah, because it's always Mondo.
And it's always, yeah, Mondo or like Warholm is up there. And it's like, these guys are amazing, breaking world records, but it's like, there's no way, like, compare the depth in the pole vault to the depth historically in like the 1500. It's just like,
well, even women's 800 too. Women's 800 right now, like the depth in that is insane.
Yeah, like
that's not even in the list. For
I don't.
We'll have to go through the points tables. Yeah, let's figure this out.
We'll get Seb on the line. Just get him to figure it out.
We need AF stats.
Lord Co. I did see. Someone. Speaking of like people that are pretty massive, The Rock Johnson. I saw his place. Did you run past it?
He has a place in Monaco.
Really?
It just has a door and it says The Rock.
What is it? What is it? He's just got a house?
It's a mansion house, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that mansions existed in Monaco.
It was massive.
Wait, are there mansion houses in Monaco? I kind of just thought it was like apartments. I thought it was like just apartments.
Big houses.
Wow.
I think definitely an up on the hill. I'm sure you could.
There is.
You could find some spots.
I'm 100% basing that just based off seeing the inside of Toto Wolff's apartment on Drive to Survive. And
even
just
like
has
Lewis
like,
Hamilton, I think,
they,
just an apartment.
They just have like normal apartments. I'm like, well, these guys are probably pretty rich. And this is where they live, so... If they're living in an apartment, then those other houses.
But they're living there for tax reasons.
Yeah, but
because Toto lives like down the road.
You could still choose to live in a mansion with your tax breaks.
That's just my reference point.
That's true.
So
maybe they're just they're donating the money that they could be living in a mansion to charity.
Maybe. The Rock though is not. He's spending on a mansion. Good.
Yeah, and tequila.
Tequila.
He has his own tequila line.
That's probably how he affords it, I guess.
Yeah.
Damn.
Well,
maybe we should have like a
tequila
coffee club spirit.
Yeah, definitely make some good money on that.
Mm-hmm. Everyone else seems to.
Let's do it. Easy crossover. So yeah, Monica once again seems, from a viewing standpoint, awesome meet. I really, really want to race there one day as well. Join these boys. Got to get another 5K there. I guess it's probably not. I mean, last year they ran very quick in the 5K there, but not really where you would want to run a 5K.
It's very hot.
Typically, but maybe one day I'll be able to do that. That'd be really cool. But going from Monaco, very different. We're jumping across to London, which is
Tuesday, isn't it?
Yeah, we talked about, did we talk about it last week on the podcast, how it's like the biggest one probably in terms of spectators?
In spectators, yes. Probably not in competition because a lot of them,
it's just UK heavy.
It's it's a bigger stadium, but it's timing. The timing's not great for a lot of athletes, so a lot of athletes won't do it.
This year, weird timing, depending on.
But it's the USA. It's like not the USA. Sorry, it's the Australia versus UK race though in the mile.
Is it
four Aussies?
Give it to
four
us. UKs. Give us the names.
I'll give it to you. Stuart McSwain,
Team Australia.
Team Australia. Adam Spencer, Team Australia. Ollie Hall, Team Australia. Cameron Myers, Team Australia, the UK side. Neil Gooley, Team Great Britain. Adam Fogg. And then there's two more I've forgotten. Oh, yeah, George Mills. And
is Josh Kerr not running?
Josh Kerr's not running.
Oh, wow.
Truly Giles.
It might be Giles. Let me check. Sorry.
The UK team does have a squad of...
Must be Elliot, you would think.
I would say so, but...
He ran it last year. He ran really good there last year.
He ran 331 last year, didn't he? 332 or 33?
I'm actually surprised that...
I thought Neil was going to win London last year.
Really?
Like his yard ended up winning. I think he was third, but with 100
Nordis was there too, right?
Yeah, it was yard, then Nordis, then Neil, I think. They ran like... They all ran 330 flat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But this year it is a mile, so we will not be seeing 330.
No, it changes everything. I wonder if... Do you know what the pacing will be like, Ollie? Have you heard anything like that?
They
probably not 246.
I mean I think it'll be like 348, unless one of them wants to go for the British record, which is Josh Kerr's 45. Archie Davis,
wow.
George Mills, Neil Gooley, Elliot Giles, Adam Fogg. There's five Brits in it. Cameron Myers, Adam Spencer, Callum Davies from Australia. I think he's pacing. There's an Irish guy in it, the sexy Andrew Corskin.
Fucking
Vincent Chapada is in it. Robert Farkin from OAC Europe. Laos is in it. Adele Michal is in it. Nordas is in it. And then Philip Rack from Poland is in it. As well as this Belgium guy.
No Kenyans, interestingly.
No.
After running really good.
No.
It's very smart.
Guess who has the fastest PR in the field though, guys?
Is it you?
It's me.
No way.
First time in the game where I got the fastest PR. You know what
that's
that
a lot
means?
Of pressure. A
lot of pressure.
This is, I mean,
I was
this,
about to say,
looking through this field, this is a really good level for you, I reckon.
Oh, thanks.
What do you mean? I don't mean that as an insult. I just I just mean like, you know, you're going to be like, actually, I think one of the greatest things to go in a race is just to have the mindset, I'm racing to win today. Like, that's all you have to think about going into this race.
So are all those boys in that race?
No, not necessarily.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah. No, I'm excited. I run well. I run well in the UK. I always run well in the UK. So
also out for redemption from last year's London Diamond League.
Because I really wanted to race. Then Rich is like, you're not racing. We're getting an MRI. I was like, oh, fuck. And then I was sent home.
Yeah.
I didn't get the rose. Rich didn't give me the rose. He sent me home.
No.
Yeah.
By the way.
Who's taking the pace on is the question.
Ollie.
Who did last year?
Could not tell you.
Who took the pace?
It was a weird... Oh, was it... Wait, Mario did for a little bit. Mario gapped everyone for like a few meters with the pacer. I can't remember who was leading it. Was it Nordas?
Well, you got Stewie and you got...
probably Stewie.
Stewie and George Mills like to go hard.
I feel like George likes to
go
hard
at the back.
Halfway.
Yeah.
He picks his moments.
But for me, I think it's my race plan.
Give it to us.
Is to sit on whoever's going hard and then outkick them at the end. That's my race plan.
Prime position.
What if you end up behind the pacer?
Then I will
sit on him
and then outkick him. Yeah.
Smart.
Checks out, right?
That's good. That's a good plan.
Yeah. No, but I mean, my body feels really good after Monaco. I got a workout tomorrow I'm excited about. But this is actually, it's a bit sad because I thought I was going to be in St. Moritz a lot longer. Total days in St. Moritz will be a week and a half. And then I'm down in Zurich after London, so I'm not coming back up.
Yeah, it is sad that you're not spending as much time. But I will say, and I'd like to hear if you guys agree with this, I feel like this year we've done a good job where it doesn't feel like too much St. Moritz, you know?
Mm.
I mean, especially for you, Ollie, but even George and I have spent a little bit more time here. I feel like we've done a good job. I don't know if it's the positive energy, the vibes we've been bringing.
Ask me again when we're leaving.
still got to get through one more week.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's been nice.
Well, ask Yard. Yard is the anti-St. Moritz man.
He was, I mean,
so he complains about walking around.
We all do shit on St. Moritz at certain points, but Yard was very anti before he even came up here. So I don't know if he...
He's anti-Europe. Yes. He's anti-Europe.
Yeah. He hates, I wonder if he'll ever come back to Europe.
When he retires. Yeah.
Like when he doesn't have to be here.
I asked him about that. He said no.
I couldn't see it.
He said no. He said, I was like, wow. But he's like, why would I vacation in Europe where Europe has everything that America has, but America has it better?
Do you think he's the culturally the most American person on our team?
100. Well, Joe Klecker was close, but Joe's a bit more cultured now. I think Yara.
Joe loves Europe.
Yeah. He loves Europe now. Initially, he was like making fun of it, but now he loves it. Yeah. He
loves Europe. I don't know. Dathan's culturally quite American as well.
But Dathan loves it up here. He like raves about being in St. Moritz. He loves being up here.
He's one of his favorite places.
Yeah, that's what he says. So I think it's Yard. I don't think... Because Alicia liked being up here.
Yeah.
Sage loves being here, right? Sage loves Europe.
Yep.
Races a lot. Who else is here? Josette.
I've just never heard... Like, Yard has got to visit some amazing places. I've never heard him say
one good thing about him.
Like, oh, I was just so happy to be in Monaco. Like, it was
nah,
so
when good. We were in Monaco, he hated yeah. Monaco. I think, but I think
Monaco is a city that I wouldn't like. I don't know if I would like Monaco. You know, I'm like, there's probably way nicer places you could.
If you go 15 minutes out of Monaco, it's absolutely beautiful. Yeah. It's like amazing.
There are a lot better coastlines in Europe than that one.
But it was still gorgeous. It was nice getting in the water.
If you're a billionaire and you have a sweet yacht,
yeah,
maybe it's the vibe.
It was actually crazy when I was having dinner with Meg and. We were like on the like where the harbour is, and you can see all these boats and just these guys with all these like supermodel girlfriends and stuff just like dancing around with champagne. Yachts. And I'm like, yeah, they're billionaires for sure.
I love it. Do they all fly the Monegasquin? Is that how you say it?
I think so.
The flag?
Yeah.
They all have that on their yachts.
And then they have the French, they have like that flag up top, and the French flag is just like second or third. Love it.
Typical. Love it.
Yeah.
So. Somehow we got back to Monaco, but we were talking about London.
Yeah, but London's going to be good.
Is anything else happening?
Is it an afternoon London? Race? Or is it
I think it's,
race?
I mean, the way the it schedule looks, is. It yeah. looks like an afternoon race.
Is it still it called is the Emsley Carmile?
3:19, it says.
It is the Emsley Carmile.
Emsley Carmile. So.
But it hasn't been for quite a few years.
They took it away and turned it into the 1500.
And now it's coming back.
Why isn't it not called the Josh Kerr Mile? Oh, because he's American. Josh
the 3K.
I keep forgetting that. I keep forgetting these.
The 3K is a diamond league.
Yeah, it is. So there is a good men's 3K as well, which I think Grant is racing.
3K in Paris was not a diamond league.
Oh, got some Ethiopians here.
Yeah, this one will be pretty good. I mean, it's still none of the ones that are competing in the Olympics.
We have Dominic from OS Europe.
Yeah, I don't think we need to go through the whole list, to be honest. It's just like, it's a solid one with a lot of people also like getting ready for the Olympics, I reckon. I think it'll be another really good one. It is weird that the fact that it is a Diamond League one, but it's still weird timing. So it doesn't have like a lot of the top 5K guys in it for various reasons. And then I think the British Diamond League always has to have a women's 800 because that's just their most.
These days they're such a good event.
Stacked event. And Keely is racing it. So.
So is Gemma Riki, Laura Muir, Erin Wallace.
Well, there'll be some George races, Bell. Then.
Yeah, there'll be some great races.
It's a shame Sage couldn't get into that one.
Yeah. Ali Wilson representing the US.
Yeah.
And Bissett.
Very cool. Last Diamond League before the Olympics? Is it even like the last meet? I wonder if there's like any more races before the Olympics anywhere.
Bro, you're forgetting about the on-track nights.
Tokyo?
Oh. Is that before the Olympics?
I think it's like July 27th or something. It's a pretty random time.
Hero. I feel like that's a terrible idea because I shouldn't say that. But because everyone's focus is going to be on the Olympics, like, all right, check out this meet in Japan.
Maybe in Japan it'll pop off. I don't
know. The Olympics have already started by then.
Yeah, not that's true. I didn't even realize that.
But like other Olympic events have already started.
What's day one of the Olympics? What's the opening ceremony?
Maybe that is the opening day. Because the opening ceremony is either like 25 or 26. So then it's like maybe the next day.
Cool.
Something like that. Unless that is the day of the opening ceremony.
Yeah.
And then it starts the next day. I don't actually know.
Yeah.
So none of us are going to the opening ceremony. How do you guys feel about that?
I kind of knew it was going to happen. I didn't really think about it, but I was like, it's just not going to work.
It's kind of sad that we're not allowed to go.
If you really wanted to, I wouldn't.
I'm sure they would let you.
I think Dathan would be like, yeah, you can go.
No, but isn't it you're not allowed in the village until a certain time before your race, like 5 days.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
So I thought that was just like Centre's Federation was telling her that. Are you sure it's the Aussies as well?
I reckon we could come in if we wanted to. I think if we really wanted to.
I think that was specific to Centre, right?
Yeah.
Italians don't want her in there.
But they wanted us to come in on certain days as well.
But with COVID, we just missed out on Tokyo. But I mean, opening ceremony might just be a bit draining emotionally and physically. And maybe it's best to... It sucks though because it's such the epitome of the Olympics, you know?
We'll watch it. We'll get a good view from the TV.
Mm. And we're like, oh yeah, we're a part of that.
I think I might go to the closing ceremony.
I can't.
Different vibe. You have to leave before.
Well, my parents are going up to Florence and they can't stay in Paris because it's too expensive. So we're going out day after.
You're going to Florence with them?
Florence and then Tuscany. I'm looking at buying a couple of wineries up there. So we're going to go and have a look and sip some grapes.
That's a cool place to go.
Yeah, buy some wineries.
Sip some grapes.
Yeah.
I think if you win the Olympics, you will probably have to come back for the closing ceremony. Probably hold the flag or something. I think you might have to come back.
If I win the Olympics, I'm going to be the bad boy with like a massive cigar and a beer can.
When you won Com Games, didn't they make you stay a full extra day?
They did,
I remember that.
It was brutal.
That was tough because I was cooked. I was so tired.
Like, oh yeah.
Also, my IT band was flared up.
They're like, you can't leave.
I did so much media after that. Yeah. That was insane. And then I went to the Longines house. That was sick. I was so hungover.
was that the Josh Kerr house?
Yeah, that was Josh Kerr was everywhere. He was actually on all the walls, and so was Peter Bowl. And then they were like, 1500 meters. Record breaker, Ollie Hall, you get a watch. I was like, cool. No, like, that's not Josh Kerr. Anyway.
Amazing.
He looks like Josh Kerr, but he's like the Josh Kerr light.
Can't wait to preview just all the Olympic events, just like other ones we don't know.
Like the equestrian?
Yeah.
Breakdancing. I'm going to become an expert on breakdancing.
Rhythmic gymnastics?
Surfing. We're going to take a trip to Tahiti or wherever.
The dancing underwater. What's that one again?
Oh,
Synchronized
swimming.
That shit's crazy. Synchronized diving too.
Yeah. How's the New Zealand looking for the rowing? Isn't that like their best event?
Prima.
They're good.
I don't know. She's very looking good.
You just said Prima and you have no idea.
Well, I believe in them.
What about rugby sevens? Surfing? I have a mate from Cronulla. Shout out Connor Leary. Surfing for Japan.
That's quite far away from Paris, it turns out.
it's in somewhere called Tōpū. Isn't it? Tōpū?
Where?
What are you saying?
Is it? I don't know. Now I can't say things. It was a French occupied island, but it's like one of the greatest places to surf, and it's beautiful there. That's where they're surfing.
It's just in Tahiti, isn't it?
Yeah.
The specific wave does have a name. Like
Tōpū, isn't it? Tōpū? I don't know. Fuck.
It's on the other side of the world.
It's in Tahiti.
That'd be so funny. Imagine if you went to the opening ceremony.
There's no way you're going to the opening ceremony.
And then you flew out.
And then
they probably have their
flew back
surfing,
to Tahiti.
Their own surfing opening ceremony.
I googled yesterday I looked up how many martial arts are there at the Olympics.
How many is there?
Yeah, Tōpū. Is that how you say it? Tōpū?
That's not how...
That's a hard word to pronounce.
Tiahupo.
I believe you though. Tōpū. Sick.
I think...
In Tahiti. Dude, look at the surfing logo for the Olympics. That's sick.
There's five.
Five?
There's five martial arts.
Like,
where's the John Wick one?
Except not all of them... One of them has not been... competed in Paris, but was in Tokyo.
Oh, got cut.
It got cut.
What about archery? You guys
in Taekwondo?
Taekwondo is in the Olympics. Karate got the chop.
Oh, karate got the chop.
They only
good
got
pun,
it.
Good pun.
They got it in Tokyo. And then, but I think Brisbane said they'll have it.
They bring it back.
Yeah. Taekwondo, karate, but not happening. Judo, wrestling, and boxing. I know they're not really martial arts, but when I Googled it, that's the ones they told me. There's a lot.
What's the craziest Olympic sport that you would not expect to be in the Olympics other than like skateboarding?
I mean, like pretty much everyone we just listed are like pretty random.
What about that one
like,
where
the fact
they
that breakdancing is in the
Olympics? Absolutely crazy. Ridiculous.
What about like when they have the gun and they hold it and they bend their elbow? Like, have you seen that?
And they bend.
Like they hold this gun, yeah, and like it bends like this and they shoot it.
Like with the movie
have you
Wanted?
Seen it? It's crazy.
Like Wanted, where you do it around the corner.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Modern pentathlon, is that still a thing?
Yeah,
that's we have
that
we
one.
Have,
that one makes sense in
a
weird way, though.
We have a girl in that. We have an Aussie girl.
Oh,
well, we don't. Have
OAC, the OAC.
yeah. It's been secret, but Alicia Monson wasn't actually injured. She's been training for the modern pentathlon.
Yeah,
I just think a Christian's kind of cool that they compete. There's only like one category. There's not like men's and women's.
Yeah, I do like that. See, those types of sports that are more traditional make a lot of sense. From like, they're only places in the Olympics to me, you know? Not their only place, but that is their place.
That's where they belong.
But no, I mean, you can almost say the same thing about athletics in a way, you know? Like, that's, like, it makes sense for that to be in the Olympics. That's such a iconic Olympic sport.
What sport is the epitome of the Olympics?
I think athletics.
Definitely athletics.
That's the 100%. That's the whole...
Okay, so, what's crazy about equestrian is the fact that they have to ship the horses.
That is crazy.
To Paris, like, months before.
Yeah, I didn't really think about the logistics of that.
That makes it kind of crazy.
That is.
That's where intense. Like royalty is performed. Some princess has performed in equestrian at the Olympics. Someone from Duke of Windsor.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Did you just pull that name out of your ass?
No, not Duke of Windsor, but the Windsor family, which is like the King Charles sausage finger family.
Good reference. Nice.
All right.
That's our Olympic preview. Right there. We do have, to wrap it up today, we do have a very special coffee cauldron, Olympic themed, which is set up by our manager, Tom. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, T-Wang.
I'm going to get it up now. None of us really know exactly what to expect here. So I'm going to play this video and we're going to see what happens. So I think we will be watching, pausing, and reacting, okay?
I know this person.
This will be pretty fun.
I know, we have so many questions for you today.
Where he is right
now. First time doing a podcast?
I've done podcasts before, but never with you guys, and I've never had like the in-person headphones and stuff.
Interesting.
Hey, Gord. Mom and Dad here to send you a message.
Congratulations, I really didn't expect this.
And everybody on the Coffee podcast. You know, we're so proud of all of you, not just Morgan, but also
got the right sponsor.
Enjoyed.
Just wanted to say congratulations for making the team. I know I say it all the time, but I really am so proud of you, mate. And you have again made me a very proud brother. I know it's been especially hard lately, especially the past year with the injury. So you more than deserve every part of this. So rip in and enjoy, and I'll see you soon.
All the BMOs send you a few congratulations on your selection to join the rest of the Kiwis in Paris. You just missed the cut 3 years ago. You've put in the mahi and achieved the Olympic standard, and not one event, but three.
It's been a lifelong dream to make the Paris Olympics, Tokyo Olympics, just practice one. And look,
that's me.
This is 11-year-old Morgan here. What was he dreaming of? He was dreaming of running in the Olympics.
So awesome, Barbara. We're so proud of you. We are with you all the way. Go the silver child.
Extremely proud of you and your achievements. I know that it's taken a huge amount of hard work and dedication. I know that there have been sacrifices too. You've also shown great resilience through some tough times, and we really admire you for that.
I'll be wearing Poppy's stopwatch around my neck. Nana will be so proud of you, and she'll be waiting for your success.
You can see a Roger in the back.
Congratulations. We're all very proud of you, and that includes your big family, your Nana, cousins, and my siblings. Well done. We know that you've worked really hard for this, and we hope you have a great
This is the younger generation of athletes and everyone else down under. Wish you all the best in Paris. Be bold, be brave, and who knows what is believable.
And keep well, train hard, and we're looking forward to seeing Morgan unleashed in Paris 2024.
We wish you all the best and sending lots of love. Also sending our best wishes to the Coffee Club boys. We are super proud of Ollie and Morgan, and thanks, look forward to cheering them on too.
Thanks.
Love you, mate.
Love you, Marty. Bye.
Perfect.
Ah, Tom.
Where's the advice column? We didn't have any advice there to give those people.
I can't believe you did that to us.
Yeah.
Ah, Tom, you've done it again.
Yeah.
That's...
Who were those people?
I don't know. They had very nice...
They seemed nice. They seemed nice, right? I don't recognize them.
Whoever they are seemed nice.
Yeah.
Well.
Classic Tom.
That was like...
That was not what I expected at all.
I was not expecting the heartfelt message there. I don't think I'm in the right emotional state to react to that.
Yeah.
I think we have to wrap up on that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I love that Grant was in there as well as a little
misdirect. That was a rich direct. That was a red herring.
Yeah.
That was a huge red herring from Tom. I thought Grant was about to talk shit about the pod and I was ready for it.
Yeah, me too.
I was so ready for it. I was like, come on, Grant. And then it was just our loved ones wishing us best of luck at the Olympics.
Yeah, well, thank you so much to the family. Thanks to Tom.
Thanks to Grant as well for being the red herring.
Yeah. He's part of our family in a way. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty out of words now after that.
That was very nice.
Yeah. Well, I guess on that note, may as well wrap it up for today. What do we think?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's wrap it up.
We'll continue to put these out, obviously, next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Our lives will be quite busy. So hopefully we can still get some nice podcast episodes out. But if we're late or something happens, I think you probably know why. So just a little warning, a little heads up. But yeah, once again, thank you everyone for listening. This has been episode 146 of the Coffee Club podcast, and we look forward to seeing you all again next week. Bye bye.